Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 144 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I'm Jim Biscardi. I'm back with Christian Hoffer and Megan Peters. You guys ready for another Monday full of Pokemon fun and an extravaganza?
Megan, I think we've gotten hacked. There's a stranger in our stream.
I know.
There's a strange bearded man who's oddly enough wearing branded, you know, our website's
so
branded stuff.
Funny.
I'm honestly just excited because as a Pokemon podcast, Jim is about to tell us all about the lovely adventures he's had with Geodude in Pokemon Legends Arceus. Because we know Geodude is aplenty in this game.
Look, here's the thing. I'm mad that Christian has got a shiny Geodude before I've been able to find one.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, this is actually your villain origin story.
This is my villain origin story.
The best part about it is, it's like, you know, like I don't even have room for him on my team of all shiny Pokemon because I already have a superior shiny rock ground type with Rhyperior. I'm sorry. It's just the truth. Rhyperior is like a superior Pokemon
in every way. Well, okay.
I know.
I have plenty of thoughts around Pokemon Legends that I have just been dying to talk about with somebody, anybody. We'll get to those in the second part of the show because we do have some news to get through first. We also have buckle in for this week's Pokemon Fact of the Week, because
it's disturbing.
It's strangely disturbing.
Everything I thought I knew about this Pokemon has just gone out the window with this fact. But
like it's a 10 out of 10 bad.
I had to actually go and do a double take and like actually make sure that the fact was correct. I went and spent some time this morning digging into my old Pokemon games and I was like, this can't be real. And so, yeah, nope, I went back and I made sure that this fact was indeed accurate. And oh, God, that's all I got to say on that.
Love it. Just remind everyone that we do this show live every Monday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You can watch us on anywhere we live stream, mostly on, if you want to get involved in the chat, Twitch is the place to be, twitch.tv/comicbook. Otherwise, you can also catch us on Facebook, where it looks like Cody is watching us. His favorite Pokemon is Jolteon. So we can give him a quick little shout out. Welcome. Thanks for watching. And we're going to jump right into the news this week because we are, as Christian reminded us before the show started, we are basically on the road to Pokemon Day. You know, like if you're a wrestling fan or WrestleMania starts, the road to WrestleMania, we point to the sign. You know, we are on the road to Pokemon Day, where this is going to be the first time. I mean, I'm sure as we get closer, we'll get rumors and things like that, right? But the first time, we don't, you know, like we assume to know what we'll get, but we have no idea what's coming. So that's going to be exciting. But first, like I said, we're going to jump into the news. There is a giveaway, another one of those GameStop giveaways. And this time it's Hisuian Growlithe.
Yeah, so we're getting our Pokemon Legends Arceus, our first giveaway. This one's kind of interesting for a couple of reasons. One, So the only reason we know about it hasn't been officially announced as of the time that we are streaming this. But we know about it because some GameStops have put out signs for it. We don't know what this giveaway really entails. Are they just giving away a random Growlithe, which you can get halfway through the game on your own? So yeah, it's, you know, a weird one. But you don't need to do anything special to get it. Actually, you know,
but maybe it comes with a special move.
That's what people are thinking, which would be interesting because of how the moves have been shifted. So, you know, a couple big questions about what exactly is going on with this thing. So this is the first giveaway. It will run in the end of February, through early March. Like I said, that it's not going to have a hidden ability or anything like that because hidden abilities aren't a thing. Right. So, you know, that's the thing. It's like, we don't know what it's going to do unless this is a Growlithe with some sort of hard-coded ability, which we've seen a couple of times. Because, you know, while we talk about that abilities aren't actually in the game, there are a couple of Pokemon that still have abilities. You know, like Regigigas, that is, you know, a Pokemon that has an ability hardwired. Charum is another one. Charum. So there's a couple of Pokemon that like have hard-coded abilities. So I guess maybe it's possible. I don't know. This is going to be the most awesome Growlithe to ever Growlithe. Who knows? This is what happens when we get leaks from signs.
Yeah. But even when they announce it and like at first blush, like people are gonna be like, what, really? A Growlithe?
And I don't think people are going to be like that at all, because here's the thing. Growlithe is only available as somebody who, you know, played through Pokemon Legends Arceus and didn't get his Growlithe until after I had unlocked, my Braviary. So, you know, I was the guy who couldn't find Growlithe. I looked all throughout the freaking volcano. Like, I was just like, yeah, give him to me. It is Hisuian, Damon Streams. It is Hisuian.
Yeah, it was part of the signage. That much we know.
So, you know, I searched far and wide for a freaking Hisuian Growlithe. Could not find it because I was looking in the wrong place. Apparently, Hisuian Growlithe, a fire rock type Pokemon, isn't by the volcano, which is filled with both fire.
Nope, by the snow.
And rock. Instead, you have to go, it's over on the, I can't even think of the name of the place. It's on the cliffs, that you go up where, you know, the Arcanine is buried, where, you know, you have that entire sad scene. It's on like the base of the cliff, and you can get to it just if you have a weird ear, you know, like, you know, you can, if you have the ability to jump. Yes. It's the Cobalt Coastlands, but, I'm trying to think of the name of the, it's like the Veilstone Cape or something like that. I forget. I should probably look at it, look at the map. But I'm not, because we're filming this live. Right. So you could just get a Growlithe. But a lot of people, like myself, couldn't find it when they were doing the initial playthrough. And maybe some people were like, you know what? I want Growlithe as my, like, partner Pokemon. Like, to heck with, you know, Rowlet or Oshawott or, you know, Stone or Cyndaquil. I want Growlithe.
Which I would like to talk about later, because...
Stoner Cyndaquil, specifically?
My poor Cyndaquil.
Hey, I will hear nothing against my small boy, but I will admit, I'm one of those Growlithe people. I mean, luckily for me, I lucked into Growlithe, like, almost as soon as that cutscene with Arcanine and being on the cliffs ended. You know, I saw him, caught him. I've been leveling him up. I'm just getting him ready. I'm very excited because my fire type before Growlithe I found was the Alpha Rapidash that you can find in the Obsidian Field Lanes, who's huge. But now that I have tiny baby Growlithe, I'm very excited.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, like I said, we got way more to talk about on Legends in the second half. But anyway, if you want, we'll find out more. And when we get the official announcement for it, and we'll see what we get. But moving on to Pokemon Unite. Number one, Trevenant fan right here, been maining that hard for the last couple last couple of, I guess, weeks at this point. I still love it. It's the best. This, you know, coming up is, this one's a bit of a surprising one. Not surprising in the sense that I don't know how the mechanics of this one are really going to change anything in the game. And so we're talking about Age of Slash coming to Unite. And Christian, why don't you give us the details before we start breaking it down a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Well, all we know is Age of Slash is coming to the game. Yeah.
Do we know when?
You said it. It's coming out this week, I think.
Oh, is it this week?
Give me a second. I will double check. Sorry. I probably, here we go. Got it. Pulling it up as we speak, as my computer is trying to overheat. Yeah, it's coming out and on the 10th. It's an all-rounder, you know, not a defender, which I guess makes sense because, you know, it has one like super attack, you know, mode and one super defense mode. So when you combine the two, you know, runs right down the middle of that, that gives you an all-rounder, I guess. You know, the scoring animation is pretty funny because it actually, you know, it stabs the ball and goes through the hoop. That made me chuckle. We don't really know what else it's going to do. I got nothing on this one besides
because we were talking about it a little bit before, right? Like it's when they added Age Slash to Pokken, I think everyone had the same reaction, right? Like, what? Like,
oh, well, I was all in.
I was so hyped. And Age
Slash, I mean, yeah, okay, all right, yeah, yeah. Characters. After the fact, sure, everyone's all hyped about it. They make that announcement, and I go, this Pokemon has no feet or legs. Nothing is a sword and shield. Like what's going on here? And one of the best Pokemon in that game.
Correct.
Yep. Side note. So I would just like to point out when I was like going and writing up the Edge Slash like announcement, like I happened to like hop into its like Pokedex entries and that thing has had like the biggest heel turn, I think, in the history of Pokemon.
Oh yeah.
So in X and Y, when Age of Slash, you know, that those are the ends of the reel, it's like this was the Pokemon of kings. It recognizes the inherent nobility in people and decides who is to rule a country. And then the next one's like, yeah, Age of Slash sucks the life force out of people. It freaking wrecks kingdoms, man. It sucks the soul out of people, out of kings. And then, you know, we get total dark ages. It's like, what the heck happened? Like, what did like a historian go and it's like, no. Here, that is like, you know, the national myth. Here is what actually happened. You know, we're
Age of Slash basically becomes Sauron. And it's
Age of Slash is basically Empire. Kingslayer. Like Game of Thrones, everything in there. Age of Slash would be one of the things fighting for, you know, Game of Thrones. Like, and it 900%.
It apparently like manipulates kings and it like, you know, like actually like it's like the puppet master behind the throne. All the while sucking its soul. It's like, what the heck?
I mean, like the whole thing with the Kalos region, like all this stuff that happened with the war in the Kalos region, 900% Age of Slash is responsible.
That's going to be the next Pokemon Legends game, and people are going to lose their minds. Like
Pokemon
I'm
Legends,
now.
Age of Slash.
we're going to get Pokemon Legends. Like I don't know, like Zygarde. We're finally going to find out what Zygarde's whole deal is, and it's going to be about like the 3,000 you know year old war. We're going to finally see like AZ show up, which I think that's like his actual stupid name. And we're going to get like, oh yeah, like let's find out how a 3,000-year-old kingdom built a super weapon. It's going to be great. I can't wait. Oh man. Anyway, so yeah, Age of Slash is coming to Pokemon Unite all.
Which I think should be, like I said, there's a long list of other Pokemon I would have preferred to see coming to Unite. Beggars can't be choosers. We've already been blessed with the amount of Pokemon we've got we have in this game already. So I'm just gonna let this one slide. This one's just probably not gonna be for me, but I'm sure, you know, the diehard edgelord Edge Slash fans are have something to look forward to.
Well, and we got two more Pokemon after this. That's the thing. It's like they already announced we're getting like a set of four with the season pass. You know, we got Trevenant, we got Aegislash, and then who knows what's coming up. Who knows?
Like, and that's actually the crazy thing. The thing I love about this game is you it would just be a guess. Like, I don't like if it's the way that they have done this has just been like, it's just been totally random. And I love it for that. So anyway, that's that. All right, let's move on to our last bit of news before we get back into our Legends discussion. Pokemon Go is coming to the trading card game?
Yeah, so last week they announced that both in the United States and Japan, we are getting a Pokemon Go, kind of like a mini set. I'm not 100% sure how this is going to work. In Japan, this is like straight up one of those like mini sets where like 6 cards per booster set, you know, probably that probably means there's going to be like 40 or 50 cards total in the set.
So it's like celebrations or.
Along those lines. But over here in the United States, the preview package that they showed was 10, I got distracted by
keep going
it's a full 10 card set is what I'm trying to say, a full 10 card set. So I don't know what that means. We'll probably get like a Pokemon Go booster box or something like that if I had to take a guess.
So do you have to walk these cards? Like, is that the requirement? Do you have to like halt them? Are there like geo trackers in them, and you have to like walk them a specific distance for them to like reveal what you need to do? I feel like that's appropriate.
Yeah,
I can confirm that that they will not be trading. You cannot trade the cards for candy. That's not an official game mechanic. What is even the point of having a Pokemon Go set if you can't trade, you know, your bunch of freaking useless cards?
Could you imagine if there was just like a mail-in component to it, right? Like if you bought X amount.
I'd be so into it.
If you mailed in X amount or whatever, you got like a shiny version of it, right? Like that would be brilliant. Hold on. We're going to tangent for a second. You know what really has just gone by the wayside that doesn't happen anymore? Mail-aways in general, right? Like, I remember I was a big wrestling figure collector. Like, you'd have to get a bunch of UPCs, stick them in an envelope, mail them away. And then, or like if you ordered a pay-per-view, you get the receipt. You mail the receipt in and they sent you a figure. Cereal box stuff. Where are the mail-aways?
I don't know. I mean, I have my Zack Snyder's Justice League T-shirt. Does that count? Like, I'm an official assistant producer on that.
That's kind of a mail away.
You know, they still do free giveaways. It's just that there's better ways of tracking purchasing habits besides, you know, enticing children with figures. You know, I mean, they still do that, but you know, it's just, you know, now you do it with an app.
Whatever.
Okay. Yeah, that's what it was all about. It was just tracking your spending habits, Jim. And now people do that for free. You know, you right, sign up exactly. for Fit Like Men.
Next week though, I've got these in. So we're gonna
break
them open.
Look at those.
Oh buddy.
Yeah.
Brilliant stars.
Brilliant stars. Be here next week, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Unboxing some of those.
I cannot wait to see Jim go and get a bunch of non-holographic, non-full art, rare cards. Like,
I've had some decent luck with the last couple of sets. So, you know, we'll see.
I don't know. It's been so long since we've done one of these. I'm going to go if I have time.
It's true because the last set was Celebrations, was the 25th Celebration set, right?
Like, did you even get a shiny in those?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's right.
I did manage to get all of the original three foils. So I got Charizard, Venusaur, and Blastoise. And so that was fine. I didn't, you know. That's all I wanted. That's all I really wanted. And I got, I mean, they weren't hard to get, but like the birthday Pikachu one was a card that I wanted the first time around. So I got at least two of those. And then, you know, But look, I loved that set. That set gave us that full art chunky Pikachu card, which was great.
That set because you got a really cool display case with all the cards in it from the Pokemon Company.
But they picked great cards for that set. I'm actually not sure though. Is this new set bloated?
It's not as bad as the last one. Fusion Strike. It's not quite as bad. It's a little bloated, but it's not massive like that one. Fusion Strike was bloated because they needed to kind of like throw out all of the cards. They needed to get all the cards that there were some extra sets that came out in Japan, and they needed to put those somewhere. And so the answer was Fusion Strikes. So if I have time, I'm going to make a bingo card for our viewers. We're going to do Pokemon Brilliant Stars Bingo with Jim's releases and see what Jim gets. And the freebie will be like Jim pulls like junk Pokemon or something like that.
So, oh God.
That'll be the center one is, you know, Jim gets duplicate, you know, non-holofoil rares or something like that. That's on my to-do list this week. So
speaking of this is another total aside because it just came into my feed. Apparently Ronda Rousey wished Mewtwo a happy birthday.
It was Mewtwo's birthday yesterday. Yes. So
that would have been the Pokemon to add to Unite.
Well, I think they're trying to save it. They will. I'm actually kind of surprised they didn't do something for it. But if I had to guess, they're saving that for some sort of special.
A big special thing.
Yeah, some sort of special thing. That makes sense. What's cracking me up, you know, speaking of like wrestlers and Pokemon, like I keep watching all these like wrestler streams where they start, you know, all these different wrestlers are like hopping into Pokemon Legends Arceus over the last like couple of weeks. It cracks me up. Just cracks me up. Good times. Everyone loves Pokemon.
Yeah, for sure. Before we take our break really quick, there were a few things that Acme White pointed out in the chat that are good reminders for Pokemon fans. One of them was to make sure you register for the Pokemon competition on Sword and Shield to get to get a shiny Galarian bird. And then the other one is there's a great 3-for-2 deal on Amazon and Target that includes the Pokemon games.
I don't think it includes the newest batch, but it does include Sword and Shield and maybe the Let's Go games because Spencer he bought Shield
So thank you, Acme White, the hero in chat that we need, not the one we deserve. All right when we get back, where it's going to be another Legends discussion because I'm sure you haven't had enough of that, but at least this time
I certainly hope you haven't had enough of it. You're listening to a Pokemon podcast. There's a new Pokemon game. What else would we talk about, guys?
Yeah, and it's like arguably the best Pokemon game in like a decade plus. So yeah. Come on.
All right.
I wonder what we're going to talk about. There's nothing going on. We're in the dead time for Pokemon now.
Oh Lord.
All right, we'll be back in 60 seconds to talk all about that and maybe a little more.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, welcome back. We are about to get into another discussion on Legends. Now that everyone had more time to play with it, I've had an opportunity to play it. I've got some initial thoughts on it. Christian, I'm going to open this up with a question for you, only because you think you can relate to this. Now, I know you've been playing with your son, but has he played the game?
He is not.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Is it because it's fairly, I don't know the right word for it, but it seems it's very menu heavy. And I think, at least to me, like I think a lot of the toggling and plus there's also a lot of reading, but also like the toggling and going back and forth for all that feels like a barrier to entry for younger kids.
I mean, my son's probably not the best one to go off of. The only reason he has not played this Pokemon game is because he's been a little grounded.
Okay. Well, that's
he may or may not have lost a AirPod there. He may or may not have spear tackled his little brother and bloodied his face up. A couple of weeks ago, there was no like malice to it, but it was very weird. So he's been learning lessons and slowly regaining his privileges since that. My oldest John, who's about to turn 7 here in a couple of months, he plays Splatoon. So this game
okay,
not more complicated than that. It's I do think that, you know, probably 6 year old. I mean, let's be real here though. You know, the Pokemon games, you know, they've always been pretty read heavy. You know, the battling system is not uncomplicated. I mean, I think all of us are used to it because we've been playing it for 25 years. But I remember when my nephew started playing the games, and that's how they kind of got him to read. Was they're like, yeah, we're not going to read all of this stuff for you. You're going to have to figure this out on his own. And he started with Red and Blue and kind of worked his way from there. You know, I do think that, you know, maybe for like 4 or 5 year olds or for kids who, it's a different system. I don't want to say it's more complicated, but the fact that it's real time, and that, you know, there are reflexes required, I'm a little curious to see how it goes. And also I will agree, probably my biggest criticism of the game is, you know, I'm not the biggest fan. The more and more I've played this game, I'm not the biggest fan of the UI. I'm not a big fan of how some of the menus.
That's probably one of the biggest gripes for me is the is just the UI. And that was the thing I was looking for. The UI is a little rough. It doesn't make the game unplayable. It doesn't, whatever. But I have found myself trying to get to a menu and like either screwing up on my way there or getting lost once or twice and being like, I should know how to do this, right? Yep. Like pretty easy. And the fact that like it's like even I'm getting tripped up by it is Megan. What are your thoughts there? Are we just being big old babies about it, or do you share some similar thoughts?
I mean, some of the menu layout, I agree, is pretty annoying. And I mean, just beyond like the satchel and that whole dilemma that I'm experiencing right now. Once I got used to it, though, it's just pretty much reflex. Yeah. I have, though, wasted a lot of Pokeballs trying to like fight a Pokemon. I'll be like, yeah, go Arcanine, go whatever. And then, like, I've wasted, like, 3 great balls before I realized, like, oh, I shouldn't do that. And normally I wouldn't care in a Pokemon game because, you know, Pokeballs are like super easy to come by. But with, you know, higher tier balls that aren't just like Pokeballs, it's a little bit more frustrating because I have to, you know, craft those things. So other than that, like, I'm pretty satisfied with the map. The one thing I'll say is getting to the, like, the mission requests, like having to get to the map and then getting to the quests from there. That annoys me. That really just grinds my gears. It should be way easier to get to those missions.
No, I guess we're airing our grievances about Pokemon Legends Arceus, which makes sense.
Of course, because, I mean, because I'm here and that I love nothing more than to air grievances.
So, you know, my two biggest complaints is one, the chat agrees with me. Pasture sorting. It's awful. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. I will give you a hint to help keep me a little bit more sane, because you don't have the option of, like, you can't favorite Pokemon, but you can mark your Pokemon. So what I do, the Pokemon that I want to keep or that I want to keep track of, I mark. I use a blue circle because that's the first thing you can come by. So yeah, that's what I do, is I mark my Pokemon. So, like, any Pokemon that I've, like, actively used in a rotation, I mark. The other thing that I do is I keep all of my Pokemon, and it's literally labeled my Pokemon. I keep them at the end. Like, you have the ability to sort, you know, your actual pastures, your boxes, basically. And so I move all of my Pokemon to the very bottom, like, you know, like boxes 15 and 16, or now it's 23 and 24. That way, all the wild Pokemon that I catch, you know, doesn't get clogged up. So after... It's the only tedious thing that I really don't like about the game is after I go out and do an expedition of some kind, and when I catch stuff, I go in and I have, like, my default box. There's a bunch of Pokemon waiting for me, and so I try to keep up on that so that I can, like, pull my shiny, and I have a box for shiny. I have a couple of boxes for my alphas. I have a box for my unknown, and so I move all my Pokemon around so that way I can kind of separate them from the churn. They obviously knew that we were going to be catching a lot more Pokemon because the freaking mechanic is just so much easier. This is not a game in which you catch one Pokemon per Pokemon species. You catch like 15 of them. They have mass outbreaks. Like, what are you supposed to do besides either beat them up or catch them? And it's a lot easier to catch them. So yeah, they need to do something about the pasture for the next Pokemon Legends game. So that's my biggest issue with, like, the whole UI. Like, there was some, I'm still, like, researching whether or not this is accurate. I saw a tweet last week that, you know, went kind of viral, that apparently there is a somebody who does all of the UI stuff for the normal Pokemon games. And apparently, I believe it's she, she was not on this development team. She's working on whatever the next Pokemon game is. It's not like she's been fired or anything, but they have two development teams and she's not on this one. So that could be why they the UI is a little rough.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. But all right, they only I have very few gripes about this game. The only other gripe I've got is, man, it takes a while to get into the game.
It takes about an hour before you can really, like, jump into. I mean, mind you, okay, let's be clear. Like, yes, that's not new. Like, the only
No, I don't know. This one feels a bit.
I mean, you had to go and battle against freaking Hop, and Sword Lord. And Shield, and they're like, yeah, we're gonna teach you about move advantages. Here, you know, I have chosen, you know, this trash Pokemon that's weak against yours, and then you hit it with the grass type moves. Like, did you know that some Pokemon moves are more effective to other? And he's got, like, their shock face, and then, like, you're, like, beating the snot out of him. He's like, we're not out yet, and then you immediately.
But that only takes like maybe 15 minutes.
It's 30, 45 minutes. It takes the entire opening sequence takes like an hour because you have to go through two cities, get to the professor to pick up the Pokedex, and then go back. You don't even get your Pokedex initially.
Yeah,
but I feel like you do more during that opening than you do during this one.
No, Well, in this one, they're like, yeah, so it's like, you, well, that's because they don't trust you. There's an in-story reason for it. You fell from the sky. Like, you know, like the Galaxy Expedition team, like, you have Kamado, who's like, he's like, well, the stranger from the sky, if he cannot contribute, I have this katana and there's a stump out back. Like, just saying.
Yeah, and like in the chat, I mean, Sun and Moon also had a fairly tedious kind of introductory level. I mean, I think that was my biggest complaint with Sun and Moon off the back, was it took like almost 2 hours for me to like do anything. So I mean, I wish that had been a little bit more streamlined here, but again, like I feel like for the genre of game that this is kind of, you know, taking inspiration from, I mean, if you look at, you know, that kind of style game, I mean, you look at Breath of the Wild, it had an incredibly long introductory with the plateau. If you look at Monster Hunter, if you look at, you know, Fire Emblem Three Houses, I mean, looking at other kind of games that could be, you know, more Kingdom Hearts, good Lord, I don't even want to talk about the preludes for Kingdom Hearts, like those kind of things. Like, I feel like it could have slimmed it down, absolutely. But because this game is trying to focus more so on lore than I think previous entries have done, it really just wanted to do like an exposition dump, which I don't necessarily love, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, and like the thing is also, you know, as we are all adults, you know, when we have the ability to like read through like the menus, when it's like, oh yeah, like, you know, we're introducing a brand new way to catch Pokemon. And it's like, okay, well, yep, we need to go and sit through this, you know, tutorial. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, this shaking tree over here, it's something different that you do. I mean, they are introducing an entirely new style of play. This does not come without like some sort of like consequence.
Yeah.
And the consequence happens to be a slightly longer than usual intro. Side note, if you are listening to this podcast and you are planning on streaming Pokemon Legends Arceus on Twitch, for the love of God, skip the first hour.
Don't do the beginning. Yeah.
Do the introduction. Your fans have seen that. I guarantee if you are on Twitch and you are watching Pokemon Legends Arceus streams, the last thing that anybody wants is to sit through the introduction. We do not need to see you learn how to throw a Pokeball. Correct. It's not funny. It's not clever. Just skip it. All we want to do is see you get wrecked by an Alpha Snorlax.
Correct.
Anyways, yeah. So, but other than that, I think, Jim, what besides your incessant negativity, what are your thoughts about the game?
I do love Alpha Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
I love the, I think it's a cool kind of mechanic. I think it's, the thing I wanted to say was I've been giving a lot of my trepidation for this game was around kind of the Breath of the Wild, like this feeling, you know, like Breath of the Wild and whatever. What I did not anticipate is how this is probably more similar to the Halo Infinite campaign than it is to Breath of the Wild. Because I had just started playing Halo Infinite, and it's a very much open world-ish kind of story that's mostly on rails, but not really. But there is an aspect of it to missions and things like that that I found in, you know, when playing this, and it kind of changed, you know, like a bit of my perception, and I like that. Here's one thing. Like, remember, you know, if you were in traditional Pokemon games, you're running around, you know, in like tall grass or caves or whatever, like the random encounter kind of thing is just like would get incredibly annoying unless you had a repel or whatever. I like being able to see the Pokemon and that I can run away and see what my path of escape is if I need to. It's a very small, minor, you know, kind of mechanic thing, but that changes the way I approach the game. Here's the thing. I haven't played outside of a little bit of Breath of the Wild that I didn't finish, I haven't played any of the other games that a lot of people kind of compare this to, right? I haven't played Monster Hunter. I haven't played like any of that stuff. And so a lot of this experience is fairly new to me. And
I will say, Jim, just as a side note, I think you actually might like Monster Hunter, because I think I was thinking about this, like, you know, the boxes that you are looking off to check. And I think that you know, multiplayer experience is pretty cool. A gameplay, the most recent Monster Hunter, especially, you know, like, I think that, you know, you would probably this would be a wild Rathalos has appeared if you ever got your hands on
Monster Hunter. my only other, you know, kind of real, it's not a gripe. The thing that I would enjoy this more if it had a bit more of a multiplayer aspect to it. I would love nothing more than to be able to jump in a game with either one of you two or, you know, any other friends and do it together. And honestly, it's one of the things I had to stop playing the Halo Infinite campaign because I wanted to do it with buddies. And so I'm waiting for that to come out. And I think this game would be so much more fun with that. I'm enjoying this game wholeheartedly. And so I will eat all of my words that I have said in the previous weeks where that this game didn't get me excited, whatever. I enjoy this game. Do I love the game? Maybe. I think I'm only halfway through, so I got to finish it. I still got to get to like the whole end game aspect of it. But I know for a fact I would enjoy it if there was a multiplayer aspect. I know that's not like multiplayer is not a be all end all for a lot of people. That is just my style of gameplay. The games I like to play now are games that I can play with friends, that I can catch up with and BS with and all that. I am more and more drifting away from true solo single player adventures than anything else. Yeah. I also like that this, you know, a lot of this, the aspects of this game, and it's a, you know, it feels like a game I could play more with my daughter, with the exception of the controls are a little bit more complicated for her, but it does feel more like Let's Go than anything else, which I think I just saw someone, Caller just said that as well. There's a lot of gameplay things that I like about it. I think the cutscenes are phenomenal. I really like those and appreciate those, and I think those add to the story in a way that I think Sword and Shield kind of just touched on, right? Like there were some cutscenes in Sword and Shield, but these feel more thought out and just more complete in general. There's a lot of things that I appreciate that this game does not make shiny hunting as laborious as it is. Right? Yeah. Like, I think, you know, everyone, you know, like we came in to the stream this morning and Phil in the chat was like, how many shinies you got? I got 9. Right. Like you're talking about, you've got a whole, you know, your main team is full of shinies. I think that it's an aspect of the Pokemon franchise that was only, you know, reserved for like the hardcore of the hardcore. Right. And I think for some folks who wanted to get, you know, to find a shiny in some of the previous games, it almost felt unattainable because you just had to do so many crazy things to try and find one. And in this game lowers that bar a little bit. I don't think it makes it too easy, because I think there is still a bit of a hunt that you need to do here. But I do appreciate that, like, you can stumble upon a shiny in the wild and have it, and you can get excited by it, right? Last thing I really like about this that I mentioned before is I love leveling Pokemon in any Pokemon game is always a grind, right? This game, I believe, makes the grind less groan-worthy in a way. Mm-hmm. I think it's you can level up your Pokemon, you know, at a decent pace. And it doesn't feel like you're like, well, all right, I got to go spend, you know, X amount of time just trying to get, you know, this Pokemon up to whatever. Like that, like those are all. But is it like, I don't think any of those, like any of the things that I like about this game, or, you know, about this game in particular, I think are, should be too specific to this game. These are all mechanics that I think can be brought into other games in a way, you know, that doesn't, that keeps the two style of games different. But, you know, I don't know. I kind of just went on a bit of a tirade. A bit of a rant, I guess. But I don't know. Like I said, I'm enjoying this way more than I thought. I love seeing a lot of people get into this because, you know, like I was saying, like it's nothing excites me more than people, you know, getting excited about Pokemon or coming to Pokemon for the first time or coming to Pokemon for the first time in a long time.
I think that, well, the game has already sold 6.5 million copies. I mean, I think this is, and 1 week, literally 1 week. It's already, you know, outselling, like, you know, established Pokemon titles. This thing has the potential to be a monster hit on like a level of like Animal Crossing. No knock on, like, we just found out Sword and Shield is the second highest selling Pokemon title of all time. Only Red and Blue has sold more. So I feel like the combination of everybody and their mom has a Switch, this is a much more intuitive Pokemon game. Like, you know, like people, when people were talking about this game when it, you know, right before it was released, and, you know, like a lot of the chatter was, well, Pokemon hasn't made a good game, and, you know, compare this to, you know, other genre, you know, other games or whatever, you know, the graphics suck, blah blah blah. And it's like, you know, like Pokemon genre, the Pokemon games are a genre as of the, you know, to themselves, you know.
Yep.
And, you know, like, I think that the fact that this game is just so accessible, like, yeah, it takes an hour to like really delve into everything, but you no longer have to grind like crazy to get things. Like, you know, you have a Pokemon on your team, you go and catch a handful of Pokemon, boom, suddenly your Pokemon are ready to evolve. I think that, you know, it's just so much more accessible. And, you know, it's really wild because you brought up, you know, it was brought up in the chat, and I think you mentioned it, Jim. You know, the fingerprints of Let's Go can be seen all over this game.
Yeah,
this is the spiritual successor of Let's Go, and it's just kind of amazing because the more I think about it, you know, Pokemon Let's Go was inspired by Pokemon Go. We probably would not have had Pokemon Let's Go if not for the fact that Pokemon Go was so freaking popular. So Pokemon Let's Go, you know, we saw like they took a lot of lessons from that game. Like okay, the catch mechanic in this game doesn't quite work, but people like the fact that you don't have to necessarily battle in order to catch a Pokemon. So let's keep that. Let's find a better way of doing that. People love shinies in Pokemon Go. Everyone has freaking shinies in Pokemon Go. Even Jim, and Jim, you know, is way behind on everything when it comes to Pokemon Go. People love that. And so what did they do? They found a way to make it easier. Like, you know, mass outbreaks, you know, they're basically like community, like mini community days. You know, people like Gigantamax. They like the Dynamax raids. They liked, you know, stuff like that. They didn't like the raids. What they liked were those overland Pokemon that would beat the snot out of you in the wild area. Like, you know, when that Machamp comes and chases you, like 5 minutes into like your walk through the wild area, people lost their freaking minds. And so they literally made a game about that. and that's the thing. It's like, you know, everyone always gives Game Freak a lot of flack, and, you know, it's not undeserved in some aspects. But, like, you know, when you take a look at this game in particular, it's like, holy smokes, are they like actually taking lessons? Like raids, I don't dislike raids. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking raids. I just, you know, that's not what, you know, like, you know, the alpha Pokemon are based off of. They're not Dynamax raids. Those are the strong looking Pokemon that are like level 60 in the wild area, and they go and chase you for like 5 minutes if you don't have a bike. This is a fun, it's just a fun game. And like, I'm basically to the end game now. I have like 10 more Pokemon to catch, and like That's the fossil Pokemon. It's the forces of nature, and it's freaking God. And that's you know, and like I'm still like enjoying the game. Like I have not like I still go and try to play the game two or three nights a week. And you know, I've gotten really good at avoiding Paris as I do so, you know.
Paris, it's so funny how just one Pokemon game can shift the entire narrative of a singular Pokemon. Because before this, I couldn't have thought twice about Paris. Now if somebody says just the word Paris, I just get triggered. Like I'm honest, like I have like a physical reaction of wanting to run away. Like those things, oh my God, I just love how that's like the one thing the whole community has come to like despise Paris. Like poor guy, yeah. Poor guy.
I associate, like I mentioned it before, right, with the Zubat and whatnot. Like Paris is my new Zubat in caves. Like I was just like, oh my God, please just go away. Yeah. I do before we were, I do want to just say a big thank you to Fick Barn Bob, who just sent a whole bunch of folks to the stream. Welcome. We hope you enjoy the rest of the show today. We're talking about Pokemon Legends Arceus. I see that comment in the chat, Calder. Geodude is not the new Zubat until I get my shiny Geodude. And I haven't gotten
a shiny Zubat. So...
No.
So it's just, it is the new Zubat.
No, it's not.
I will say it cracks me up. Like, you know, when I realized that Geodude, like how common Geodude was in this game, I started everywhere. Like laughing. I'm like, I was like, oh, Jim's gonna love this game. Like, here's a bunch of Geodude just like walking around, and then there's this shaky rock. Like, maybe it's something valuable. No, it's a Geodude. There's Geodudes everywhere. Oh, by the way, a Paris is jumping off a cliff to come and try to cut your throat out of your body.
Do you know what this? You know what this game is? This game is proof that someone at Game Freak watches this show or listens to this show, and they understand.
Yep, they saw understand. That, and they're like, yep, we need to make clear that Geodude is trash, and we want everyone to hate Geodude.
No, they said Geodude. We need to make sure that there is a ton of Geodude.
Yep. In this game. Everyone dislikes it. Everyone dislikes the Geodude. And the only reason Geodude is getting spared from, the only reason we're not getting a bunch of like, God, I can't stand Geodude memes, is because they amped up the aggression of a freaking bug with mushrooms on its back up to 15. Like, you know, like Paris, I'm surprised. Like, if the reason they don't have held items in this game is because they didn't want to give Paris like a knife. Like, I swear to God, that's what would have ended up happening. It's like, like, you know, like, let's get Pokemon held items. Oh, somehow Paris has got a knife. Paris has got a knife, and he's coming after you. He's coming after you. He's stabbing at your shins.
My favorite thing about Paris is like, he will chase you to the ends of the earth. I mean, he will go from section of the map to section of the map after you, but as soon as you turn around and you challenge it, mine's just like, it's keeping its guard up. It's like, no, you have followed me, you have stalked me, I'm going to obliterate you. And then it tries to run away on me.
Okay,
no thank you, I'm going to destroy you.
Zenpai brings up a good question in the chat, which is more annoying, Paris or Sharpedo?
Oh, it's a close one. Sharpedo was obnoxious in Pokemon Sword and Shield in the Isle of Armor. Like that thing freaking sucked.
However, it's hard to outrun Sharpedo though. If you didn't time your like energy boost perfectly, like he kept you. At least Paris, like I'm able to usually get away from him, especially if I, you know, if you have a Rhydeia or something like that. So
just wait until Sharpedo gets added in the DLC.
All right, well, so let's talk about that. What do we think we will get as far as DLC goes? I know there's a lot of rumors out there, and so, you know, not wasting our time going through all the rumors, let's talk a bit more about what we think we may realistically get.
So I think it's going to be one of two things, or maybe both. I think we will end up getting at least one more area of the map. There is one big part of the Sinnoh region that has not been, you know, doesn't have an equivalent in this game. So we should get at least one more area. I think that we'll probably get about there, because here's the other thing. There's still some Pokemon that have not been introduced in a Gen 8 game. And while, you know, the Pokemon company is kind of like, we're not going to put every Pokemon in every game, it would feel really weird if we did not get every single Pokemon in at least one game. You know, that's what I'm thinking. It's like, you know, there's some leftover Pokemon that we need to catch, you know. So it would be really surprising if we didn't get some new Pokemon added. I'm guessing between 80 and 90 new species, at least one new area. Maybe they'll split between two. Who knows? The other thing I think that could be coming is Distortion World.
Charizard?
Well, yeah. Well, of course. Jim, this is a Pokemon game. Of course, like... But look,
this is the first game. This is the first game that you don't immediately, you know, in a while that we can get Charizard.
Pokemon wants you to want it. They really want you to want this Charizard.
Like, I can't wait to see what Hisuian Charizard is going to look like, because you know it's coming and it's going to be amazing. And then we're going to get the cards and it's going to be beautiful and gorgeous.
Give me Samurai Charizard. Like, give me something like that.
I was guessing that they would kind of go with like the, you know, since this thing has a whole like kind of like mythical beast vibe to it, where they're drawn in from, you know, mostly Japanese, but a little bit of Chinese mythology. It would not surprise me if we saw some like Chinese, like, you know, Charizard as like a long dragon.
Oh my God. If we got like a serpent flying Charizard dragon, I would lose my collective mind. I mean, like, I don't really care about Charizard either way. Like, he's not like my favorite evolution, or, you know, Charmander's not my favorite starter for the Kanto region, but if I got me like a Shenron-esque looking Charizard,
but that would have to be Gyarados.
We do have Gyarados.
I love Gyarados, but I want like a cool Charizard hybrid of that. Yeah, Rufane in the chat, Charizard. That sounds a really cool emo band name.
But we already have cool looking dragons. Like, we've got Gyarados, we have Rayquaza. Like, we don't.
I mean, Charizard doesn't need to look like that. And you know what? We don't have a Charizard that does that. Come on, this is a Pokemon franchise, guys.
They gotta bring Charizard into every possible niche of the fandom. They gotta sell those plushes.
Big Godzilla like Charizard, just, you know,
you're going to come out with Hisuian Variant 1 and Hisuian Variant 2. We're going to get long Charizard and we're going to get stout Charizard.
Yeah, one's going to be long and one's going to be wide.
You know, that's, oh my God. Game Freak, we're being sarcastic. Don't listen to us, please, Pokemon Company. Like, don't,
we know they
don't.
Do. Look, we just talked about that.
I mean, my real request, if you are listening, Pokemon Company, is give me a new Eeveelution. I know you won't do it in this game. It's not Gen 9 or whatever, but like, I won't complain if you do it.
I'll be honest, I was shocked we didn't get a new Eeveelution in this game. I was kind of like thinking.
Could you imagine if they gave us a Hisuian Eevee and then in turn just like Hisuian variants of every Eeveelution? Like, it just would have been nuts.
don't even play with me like that. Like, it makes me upset, but like also I'm happy that didn't happen. But like, it's been a while. Like, it's been a while. And as like the number one Eevee stan on this podcast, like, I'm ready. I'm ready for something new. Just one. Even just like tease it. Just tease that there was an Eevee evolution in the Hisuian region that no longer exists in present day. Like, just give it to me. It'll be fine.
The last thing on my Eevee, you know, it's really fun. One of my favorite parts of Pokemon Legends Arceus, like, honest to God, is the fact that like alpha Eevees are so like easy to get. Like, I have like so many. I have like, I think like two or three alpha Eevees. So now I have an alpha Jolteon, an alpha Umbreon. It's just great. I have these just giant like fox things, just, you know, like the size. They're literally my size. They're like 6 feet tall, you know, like spits poison out of its eyes. It's great. Love this game. Love it so much.
All right. Well, we got to wrap this one up. So we got to do the Pokemon Fact of the Week. We'll have plenty more of Legends to talk about in the coming weeks. But today,
If you have questions, if you have questions about Pokemon Legends Arceus, you know, please, please, please tweet at us. And we will try to answer them next week.
Hoffer saved my life. Hoffer has saved my life numerous times in playing this game. So please.
Yes. I think we'll probably save it for next week, but I do want to bring that thing up too, because that's probably a good one to talk about. But let's get the Pokemon fact of the week.
Pokemon fact of the week. We're to Shuckle. Shuckle is such a cute Pokemon, right, guys? I love Shuckle. Shuckle's just such an innocent fellow. Nothing creepy or weird about him. Makes juice. He makes juice. You know what that juice is made from? His toe juice. It's literally toe jam, people. It's toe jam. That's right. Shuckle makes its juice using fluid secreted by its toes. It's a corrosive liquid that it actually secretes by its toes. I didn't even know the damn thing had toes.
The Shuckle also likes to keep berries in its little shell.
Yeah, that's how it becomes juices.
I know, but my favorite thing is they just sit there so long that they become juice. And so I have to assume it's fermented.
It's
not juice.
Yeah,
I have to assume you can get drunk on it, right?
100%.
It is. It has to have an alcohol content, right?
But like, it is.
Shuckle is just getting people drunk, right?
It is known as the mold Pokemon.
Mold as in because of the rock, because it's that type of mold, not like the other type of
not
mold,
like penicillin.
Oh,
although who knows? No.
Who I mean, knows? No, that I think might be that special kombucha.
I don't think it's the mold the way you're saying it. I think it's mold as in like,
I mean, seriously, have you ever
the
had
spores
kombucha?
And whatever? Like, because it's just letting those berries rot inside its shell.
Yeah, just call Shuckle the kombucha Pokemon.
Yeah,
like, honestly, at this point. Like, that's what he is. Like, I'm dead serious. There has to be an alcohol content. There has to be mold in it. So it's like alcoholic kombucha. Basically, Shuckle was a hipster before we, like, even realized it. Absolutely. Oh, God, in the comment, Shuckle out here with the foot juice hooch. I'm going to go throw up now. Oh, God. This is upsetting. I'm sorry that I opened that alcoholic can of worms.
So, but here is a question, though. Is Shuckle like a turtle where its shell is a part of its body? Or is Shuckle more like a hermit crab and it finds new rocks to make into shells and go that way? Because I think it's more like a hermit crab. It looks more like a hermit crab than it does a turtle.
So I mean, the toe juices, you know, are corrosive. Yeah.
Sure.
And you know, which implies that, you know,
that's how it makes the holes.
Yeah, that's how it makes the holes. Yeah. That then you go and put berries in. So, and then you, I don't know, maybe you put
the berries mix with his corrosive weird toe juice and becomes a juice. But we know that's not juice.
So he just slides out. So he just slides out of the hole. He just slides out of the rock and then finds a new one. Like, what if a Shuckle grows and gets bigger? Right? Like, it's going to need a bigger rock.
Yeah, right? I think you're correct.
Yeah, I think it has to.
It is. This is just such a weird.
Okay.
So I could have gone my whole life without knowing that Shuckle essentially makes gross foot wine.
But in Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, the Pokedex refers. Oh, no, I guess in Diamond and Pearl, it does it well. It says delicious juices.
Well, yeah,
that's disgusting.
Depending on how high its alcohol content, you will think anything is delicious.
You know why? So you know why it's called the mold Pokemon, Jim? You might be half right. It's an Indoleth. It's basically Indoleths are these organisms that literally, you know, they're creatures that feed on rocks, and they're algae. Like amoebas.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what they are.
Kombucha. All right. Also, that is absolutely. And my favorite thing is in the comments, everyone's reminding that in one of the old anime episodes, there was an old man who had corked like Shuckle shells that he would pour drinks to like Ash and Misty and Brock. So this man gave an underage kid alcoholic kombucha from Shuckle's Weird Toe Juice. I hate this franchise. I can't. I don't know. I don't know what to do now. I'm so disgusted.
As soon as we start making merch, I'm going to make sure there is a glass that has Foot Hooch on the on the side of it.
I'm so genuinely
Shuckle brand Foot Hooch.
So genuinely upset by this conversation right now. I could have got my whole life.
All right, well, that about does it for this week's episode of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared. We hope you enjoyed the show. I missed everyone. I missed chat. I missed Megan and Christian. It's good to be back. So if you want to get in touch with the show, obviously, like, look, let us know if you have any questions, or if you want to share tips and tricks for the game that we can share with the larger audience, hit us up at Twitter on the show. The show handle is at PokemonPodCB. Otherwise, you can find me at Jim Viscardi, Christian's at Seehofer C Bus, Megan is at Matt Megan Peters CB. We love hearing from you. We want to see all your screenshots. Look, if you are collecting Geodudes and you maybe name one after your favorite show host, send me a screenshot.
Send Jim a screenshot.
That gets a crisp high five and a for sure retweet for any Geodude named after your favorite show host. I'm gonna get Geodudes named I'm gonna get Geodudes named Megan tweeted at me. That's
exactly. Hey, no, don't put my name on that. I just need Vaporeon.
it's like no thank you, no thank you, don't put my name on Geodude, don't tag me.
Why deny Jim the privilege of that when I could just have Vaporeon right. And he could just have Geodude.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, like I said, otherwise, other ways to support the show, you can leave a review over on iTunes, and obviously then just go tell your friends about it. If you're in any Pokemon group, right? If you're a Pokemon group on Facebook or in Reddit or whatever, just let them know, hey, there's this really cool show that streams live every Monday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Otherwise, you can listen to it at your own leisure. Really do. We love when new people come to the show. So yeah, that's about it. And look, I normally end the show with, you know, maybe shiny luck be in your favor, but if you're playing Legends, you don't need that shiny luck. Just keep playing. But other than that, we'll catch you next week, folks. See you later.